I'd like to start out by thanking all of you who reached out to us this morning. Just an update on Cheyenne. Her chest has been hurting her for a few weeks. She did have some sort of condition that produces inflammation in the cartilage there. We asked the doctor about it, and they said if it got any worse, to take her to the ER. With Lyme disease, there's a condition, a heart condition, that can develop over time. And we need to make sure that that's not what it was. So went to the ER last night, and all of her tests came back okay, so we're good to go. Just think she's a little bit inflamed. So thanks, everyone, for the concern and for reaching out to us. It doesn't take very long for you to know me to know that I love, love, love Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I guess it's kind of all I talk about. I'm in the gym maybe 6 days a week. And to most people, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not the most gentle sport in the world. You get a lot of bruises, a lot of mess up joints. And it's, you know, to a lot of people, it doesn't sound very appealing. but I decided about a year into my training that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I wanted to open my own jiu-jitsu gym because I started seeing what it was doing for people. I saw people deal with ADHD, PTSD, and they just kind of worked it out there on the mats. And it really made me feel good about what I was doing and what I could help people do through that sport. So I decided that that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. I want to open my own gym. And so at that point, I started competing a lot. I don't compete for fun. It is nerve-wracking. And I do enjoy it in reality. I like seeing my teammates win. I like winning. I don't like losing, but it happens. But the reason that I did it is because I had to build up my resume. People are going to want to know why they want me to teach them one day. And I need to be able to show them why. Well, that kind of produced a problem in my mind. I need to build up my competition record, but I just started a few years ago, and I'm 27. So in a really real way, I had to come to terms very quickly with the fact that my time is limited. I'll be 30 in 2.5 years, which is not very old for a combat athlete, but in the long run, you do only have so many years that you can perform at a high level in competition. And so my motto this year became, I don't have time. And what I mean by that is I don't have time to, when I'm feeling good, to stay at home and not train. I don't have time to complain or be afraid of competition. I don't have time to hold myself back in any way. And I say all that, and I go all the way around with all that to say that it also brought my life as a Christian into perspective. Because, as all of us know, we are mere mortals. And we only have a set number of days that we're going to live here on this earth. At some point in time, either we will die, or the Lord will come back. And our time here will be completely done and over with. And that time comes closer at every single moment. And it became very real for me through jiu-jitsu, but it's a truth that Christians have to square with. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." That's what our life is in the grand scheme of eternity. And even in just the time that this world's been around, our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanishes. But we as Christians have, so we know that it's limited, but we have things that we have to do in this life. We have responsibilities that we're called to undertake as Christians. And knowing that, there's certain things that we as Christians just don't have time for. And since I've been thinking about that in my athletic life here lately, I've also been somewhat taking stock of that in my spiritual life as well. What things do we not have time for as Christians? What things should we cast aside that are preventing us from progressing at the rate that we should and accomplishing what we're supposed to accomplish as Christians? And the first thing I'd like to propose to you is that we don't have time as Christians for fear. Now, don't mistake me. I'm not talking about godly fear here. I'm talking about fear of the physical, fear of man, fear of things of the world. We simply don't have time for that as Christians. We don't have time to let ourselves become engulfed in fear. Why is that? Fear is a crippling thing. It's a tool that's used by the devil. It can paralyze us from in our physical life or our spiritual life. Fear can keep us from even attempting to do the things that we know we're supposed to do or that we need to do. Fear limits people every single day. I've seen it time in and time out. And we don't have time to fear man or the things of this world. Because the truth is, the things of this world and man really cannot harm us. People are afraid of man. They're afraid of being persecuted, being made fun of, being cast out, being shunned, being rejected by man, by the created. But the truth is, man really doesn't have any power. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, read verses 5 through 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. For we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Sure, man can reject you. Man can persecute you. They can make fun of you. They can judge you, disapprove of you. But what can man really do? Man can do absolutely nothing. And we don't have time to allow our fear of being rejected by man to affect what we've been charged by God to do. Because man cannot take your soul. They can do a lot of things, but they can't take your soul. And turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Yes, in this world you might meet tribulation. The things of this world can be daunting. They can be scary. They can be intimidating. And you may experience tribulation in this world because of your Christianity. But the world has been overcome through Christ. And our life is short. We don't have time to allow the things of this world to intimidate us into not being the people that we should be for Christ. We don't have time for fear of man or fear of the world. And also, we don't have time to fear death. This can be a very crippling thing in people's lives, fearing death. As a matter of fact, it's something that affected my life for a very long time, honestly. I had a really good friend who was killed in a tornado when I was 8 years old. He was my best friend from school. And from then on, the idea of death became very, very real to me. I was very confident in where I would go after I would die. But it was so sudden, and it happened so quickly and so unexpectedly. I almost developed, you know, a complex about that. And I know several people who've developed the same thing. And they become so preoccupied with the idea of simply dying. They're not wondering about whether they're going to go to heaven or not. They're worried about dying. And I've been in that boat. And it can become something that's very, very crippling if you allow it to be. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. This idea of death becoming a crippling thing is dealt with straightforward in this scripture here. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Fear of death can bring someone into complete slavery. And it's something that a lot of people really struggle with. They don't think about it, maybe they don't talk about it. But Christ delivered us from that death, from death and from fear of death. And sometimes it's something that people have to work out, you know, with help through counseling. But as far as our spiritual life goes, we don't have time to constantly be preoccupied with death, because that's been overcome. And because Christ, through His death, has overcome that, and He has freed us from the slavery, the lifelong slavery, as it's stated here, that is the fear of death, because we can feel confident in our salvation. That is a tool that's brought on by the devil. So in summary for this point, we don't have time to fear the things of this world. We don't have time to fear death. We don't have time to fear man or any of those things, because we have things that we're charged with as Christians. And these things are out of our control. And we have to lay those things on God, because He's overcome the world and He's conquered death. So we have to have faith and lay those things on Him. But also, something that we don't have time for is we do not have time as Christians to be idle. We don't have time to put off our duties until tomorrow. We don't have time to procrastinate. And that's because Christians have work to do, and we know, as we talked about earlier, that we have a limited time to do it. And our work is very weighty, and if it goes undone, there can become eternal consequences to that. So we don't have time to be idle while our life goes by. And the first way that we don't have time to be idle is in our relationships with other Christians. You never know what another Christian may be struggling with. We're commanded to edify and encourage one another. And if you neglect to do that or put doing that off, that could affect someone eternally. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We have a responsibility to one another that we cannot neglect. And you never know when a simple word of encouragement to a brother could be exactly what they needed to hear. And this scripture puts that responsibility on us. We know that it's our job to encourage one another, to take care of each other, to reach out to each other as Christians. But we don't have time to wait on doing that. We don't have time to remain idle in doing that, because that could have eternal consequences for our brethren, because our time is limited and we don't have time to waste. But also, we don't have time to remain idle towards people in the world. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16 of Mark chapter 16. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned." We're commanded to go out and to teach the gospel to all creation. And our time is limited, and so is theirs. I'll venture to say that everyone in this building knows someone who's lost, who is spiritually lost. And they have a finite number of days. So do we. And if we know that their soul is lost, and we have a responsibility to try to teach those people, we don't have time to wait. And this kind of goes back to the fear thing we talked about earlier. It doesn't make sense for us to wait, but sometimes we become afraid. We're afraid of what they might say, or that they might reject us. But honestly, we don't have time for that either. We don't have time to remain idle by fear or what other or any other reason or any other excuse that we might pose. We don't have time to remain idle towards our brethren, and we don't have time to remain idle towards people in the world. So anything that we say or we do could have eternal consequences. It could change someone's life forever, and we don't have time to neglect those things. But lastly, the thing that I'd like to point out, and this is absolutely crucial, and this is not only applicable to Christians in the room. This is applicable to everyone in the room. You don't have time to not be a Christian, to remain outside the body of Christ. Because, like I said, we have a finite number of days, and the day of judgment will come in the blink of an eye. Turn over to what we read earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 50 through 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 53. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. In the twinkling of an eye, He'll come back, and the day of judgment is going to be upon us. And if you're not in good standing with Christ at this time, you don't have time not to be. It could come at any moment in the twinkling of an eye. So why are we waiting? Why are we waiting to live the life that we're supposed to be? Are we afraid? Are we being lazy, remaining idle? Are we procrastinating? We don't have time to wait. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.